One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy, we're finally getting on the air here tonight. We're having some technical difficulties, storms throughout the area tonight, and we don't know how long we'll stay on, but we're here for the duration. Praise God, we got a great program for you. Hope that you haven't give up on us and you're still listening in. In case that you have, and you got a friend or someone that's thereby. Well, just go ahead and hopefully we can trust and pray that you can notify people that we are on the air tonight on WWRV 3.185 Clear Channel. We'll be involved tonight with the rest of the hour. Praise Yahweh and welcome in here tonight to the Shepherd's Call. Praise Yahweh. Got some good news for you to tell you at the end of the program. Possibilities we are very excited about. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss tonight's program. Praise Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the things which are most interesting tonight, and that is the things that are in the Bible that are hid from the wise and the prudent. Now, how do we find out that the wise and the prudent don't know a lot of the things? Well, it's evident. I want to tell you tonight, as we get into this message, I'd like to do a series on it. I don't know that it'll be possible, but I would love to do it because I've talked many times on these in-depth things in the book of Genesis. I'd like to go there again tonight to start. Maybe we'll make a series, depending on how it goes here. I want to talk to you about God's first divine law. God's first divine law. Have you ever thought about it? It's mentioned 10 times in the book of Genesis. 10 times. It's amazing. how he emphasized this, and we make such little to-do about it. And I thought it'd be worth going through maybe a little bit and looking at God's first divine law. Now, when he created the earth and everything that was upon it, it was everything after its kind. Think about this now. 10 times in the Bible, it relates kind after kind. So tonight, we're going to talk about kind after kind, whose seed is in itself. Now, it's very important. Everything that is a kind is a seed. Have you ever thought about that? It applies to all living matter. In the first chapter of Genesis, 1:11, and God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. Genesis 1:12. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself. Think about that now. The seed is in itself. And God saw that it was good. Again, Genesis 1:21. And God created great whales. Great whales. We still got them with us. And every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind." 1:24. "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind." That's not her kind, it's a his kind. The seed has to be in itself, so it's male gender. And we're going to find out exactly how he done this to where that they could procreate kind after kind. And this is the universal law, God's first divine law. It's amazing. You know, I've read the Bible a long time. I've taught all around this subject. And lo and behold, I was just studying today, and it came upon me. I tried to get away from this message, but it wouldn't let me. It was buried deep within my spirit. And so, 1:25, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good." In Genesis 1:27, now, listen to this, through 31. It says that God created male and female and tells them to be fruitful, to multiply, and to have dominion over every living thing. And God beheld everything that he had made, and it was good. Now, he created male and female. And everything that God had made with its seed in itself, whereunto it is good, because it produces only after its kind. Like begets like. Never do the simpler forms of life violate the standard law unless forced to do so by the higher form of man. Now listen to that. The simpler forms, the ones that we just mentioned here 10 times, now we bring forth man, and we know that he's going to bring forth after his kind. And the simpler things, like in nature, like everything was created, up to Genesis 1:25, God made the beasts of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything, living thing that creeped upon the earth. And God saw it was good, and it won't violate that kind after kind unless the law is violated by a higher form. We know that when different blood types mix, those are that are compatible. Now, keep this in mind. I'm going to reveal to you the secret words and the deep things, or the hidden words. When different races mix, they do not obey the divine law. When they mix, they bring forth their own kind. Their offspring are mongrels or hybrids, and this is a transgression against the divine law. You see that? It's something that Yahweh didn't mean to mix. The simpler forms, lions only mate with lions. Unless man mixes their genetics in some grotesque form of way and violates the secret code DNA. You see, we're getting into breaking the code. We're waxing worse and worse, or more evil and more evil, and the transgression against the divine law is now springing into action more so than perhaps it's ever been, with the exception of the days of Noah, where we cultivated, we climaxed, if you will. In the days of Noah, we had a transgression against the divine law, and for this cause, Yahweh made an observation when he said, man is getting worse and worse and worse, and more evil and more evil and more, and we gotta stop this. Nature's delicate balance. And when they produce that which is against nature, it's not good. It's little wonder that so often in the past, all you got to do is read and study, God has destroyed his own children for mixing or mongrelizing, and you can be sure that as it was in the days of Noah that I just mentioned when they were doing this, that is coming back, and I really feel compelled to teach on this for some reason. I don't know why. It just won't leave my spirit. Kind after kind in violation against God's law, the divine law. Deuteronomy 7:6. You are a holy people unto Yahweh, for the Lord thy God, as it says in the King James. More of you would understand what I'm talking about. The Lord God said, you're a holy people. If I said Yahweh, you probably wouldn't know. One third of you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But at least you know what I'm implying, that the Eternal, the Creator, says that I have chosen you, that's the sons of Jacob, to be a special people unto myself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, we know that the Adamic race was given a special assignment to have dominion over every form of life previously created up to Genesis in chapter 2 when he formed Adam after the seventh day. Now, this is very important.
Oh, you say the same Adam in Genesis 1:26 is the same one in Genesis in chapter 2,
where he put Adam into a deep sleep and made Eve after that he had formed Adam on the eighth day. This eighth-day man is a special, unique man to have dominion, the Adamic. Do you notice it didn't name Adam in Genesis 1:26 as Adam? It just said he made man. Now we're in a form. Adam could be a single race with a chosen destiny, and that's what I'm teaching on tonight, out of the dust of time and the sands of time, the Adamic race. It was to have dominion over every form of life that had been previously created, and this includes not only the four-legged beast, but the two-legged beast as well. Oh, two-legged beast. Exodus chapter 23. Listen to this. Verse 10 through 11. And 6 years you shall sow the land and shall gather in the fruits thereof. 6 years. But on the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you know of anyone today that really observes? This is why the earth is out of balance. This is why that we're having problems, weather problems. This is why that we are having to deal with the future time when man will literally, through this sin, corruption, and violation of kind after kind, will bring upon him swift destruction. Because it's written in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, that Yahweh will return early. Listen to me now. I feel like preaching. I feel like teaching you that there are the things in the Bible that are hidden, been taken for granted, and are not separated and put in proper perspective, and we'll find out. Notice this. You shall let it rest that the poor of thy people may eat. Now, wait a minute here. Let me go back over and read that again. 6 years you shall sow the land and shall gather in the fruits thereof, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest and lie still that the poor of thy people may eat. Now, isn't that something strange? What are you going to do? Well, did you know that Yahweh promised those blessed beings, Adamic race, that if they would observe this, that he would give them enough in the 6 year, a double portion, they would let the land rest and observe this law that I'm fixing to give you, the divine lawyer, that they should leave it to the poor of thy people, and that they may leave it to the beast of the field, that they shall eat. In like manner, thou shalt deal with thy vineyard, let it rest, and with thy olive yard, let it rest, and let the poor of the land, the poor of the land, and the beast of the field. Now, if wild or even domesticated animals were beasts of the field, just picture what would happen to your gardens and your vineyards. You know, let's say that a herd of elephants came through. You know what they do? The distinction that Yahweh makes between the poor of thy people and the beasts of the field, the poor of thy people shall eat first. Exodus 9 and 9. Listen to this. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with briars upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So the man and the beast are treated equally here. There is a beast of the field, and there is man, separate, perhaps alike in a lot of ways. Now, you can be sure that God was not punishing four-legged beasts by afflicting them with boils. You can be sure of that. That the four-legged beast, the cows and the horses and the brute beast, this, the two-legged beast, which is living with man or among man, remember now, there was a man, Adam, the Adamic, was to rule over these other beings. Now notice this. I'm going to show you something right here. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 15. And the whole crutch of my message lies within this verse. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down with that beast, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be up on them. If a woman approach a beast, if a man lie with a beast, remember they're male and female, if a Adamic man lies with a beast, they shall surely be put to death, both man and woman. And if a woman approach unto a beast, that would be the male opposite, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast and the woman. You shall surely put them to death, that their blood shall be upon them. In other words, they're not going to bring forth. Now, we know that there is no way that let's say a donkey, a male donkey, a beast of burden, is it possible for him, even if he could lay with a woman, he don't have no instincts to lay with a woman, he's not made to violate his own simplicity of rules of kind after kind, even if he did, he could not germinate a seed within the woman, an Adamic woman, let's say in this case, but could an Adamic woman be impregnated with a beast where she brings forth a child if she's let live, and that's punishable. According to Leviticus chapter 20, it couldn't be a four-legged beast that a man or woman could lie with. If it were, God would not demand the death penalty for a dumb animal with no reasoning, power, or any natural instinct to do so. Notice this one, Exodus 19, verse 13. There shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. Now, why Why is this given to the beast if it's a four-legged beast, a brute, with no reason? There is a beast that has reason. We know that, according to the Bible. We're going to show you that a beast has hands. Now, you don't believe that God told Moses to talk to the camels and the donkeys and the cattle when he told the beast not to touch the mouth, do you? If you would go to the book of Jonah and read the third chapter, we find that Jonah comes up on a city, Nineveh, that had both man and beast capable of raising hands. Both of them had hands. Both of them could understand to put on sackcloth and to sprinkle ashes upon their head and to fast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's something missing here. It's an element. There's a word that has certainly been taken out of the Bible to give you understanding. The secret thing. Beware, lest Yahweh send you a strong delusion to believe a lie. All things are not like you believe. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man and upon beast. Now, why again would Yahweh pour his fury? I can understand why he poured it upon a man. But if these are four-legged beasts here, we find in Jonah 3 that the beast there had hands and were able to cry out mightily to Yahweh and to lift up hands. Lord, didn't the Bible say, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubt? Well, that's what they were doing there. Putting on sackcloth and ashes. Obeying the word of Jonah. So thus, Jeremiah 7:20, my wrath, if you don't obey me, my fury and anger will be poured out upon this place, upon man, and upon beast. Now, I'm sure that the four-legged beasts were not sleeping in houses with hands. I've never seen a cow with a hand. I've never seen a donkey with a hand. I've never seen an elephant with a hand. But bless God, here, somewhere in the Bible, there is a code that will inform you that these beasts had hands. Oh my, what do I have to get in all these things for? And why me, Yahweh? Jeremiah 21:6. I'm going to smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. Now we got inhabitants, both man and beast. They're all living in that city. We've got the same problem today, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a big problem. Kind after kind is being violated. Miscegenation, blood swapping, and there is pregnancies resulting where it cannot from a donkey or cattle or the four-legged creatures and beasts. This beast was able to mate with man. With Adam. Let's see here. Would God refer to a four-legged beast as an inhabitant of a city that don't understand the divine laws of kind after kind? They never violate. The cow never violates kind after kind. The bull never. The male. He never violates. Although he's got a strong sex drive, but it's for his kind. You know, the Redbird Cardinals. During mating season, if you've ever noticed a redbird out on your car, sitting on top of your mirror, and him fighting the bird in the mirror, which he recognizes as male competition. He's got a strong sex drive, but he won't go out and mate with a bluebird. A bluebird can just cover him up. Females can cover up a redbird, and he don't know what to do. He has no inclination. He has no persuasion. He has no sense of smell or recognition. He's not given that. But there is man and beast of the field. Both of them are occupying the cities and living within. Know now that I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. Oh. Well, there is a people. They are servants. Notice this one. Jeremiah 31:27-30, which is a prophetic prophecy. I use it quite often. The seed of man and the seed of the beast will mix together. The seed of man and the seed of beast. It's impossible, as I said, for the miscegenation of animals to man. It just don't happen. But there is a compatible seed of man and beast that will bring forth, and when it does, it brings confusion. The children are confused. Nature is confused. The divine law is broken, and there is serious consequences because it produces miscegenation and blood mixing. It's a terrible sin. Jeremiah 31, the seed of man, and I'll mix it with the seed of beast. But everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Verse 30. Everyone shall die. Remember what the law said, the divine law? If a man lie with a beast, a female beast, they're to both be killed so that they won't bring confusion. In other words, offspring. See, that's Yahweh's remedy. Kill it right there. Likewise, with the woman to the male beast of the field. Jeremiah 31:34. They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, or know Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. It appears that that verse pretty well takes care of those who say, no harm done. Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 15. Listen to me. If I cause a noisome beast to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it becomes desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast. Now, we're not talking about a herd of donkeys standing out there to pass through the land and spoil it, to make it desolate, that no man can pass through because of a beast that's got it occupied. Only two-legged beast could stop Adam from passing through the land. Ezekiel 29:11. No foot of man shall pass through it, nor foot of beast. Now, a beast got a foot here. Shall pass through it. Neither shall it be inhabited for 40 years. Now, the beast inhabited not only has a hand, but a foot. We done proved that. Animals have hoofs or paws. Jonah 3:7. I'll read it to you. Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock. In other words, the beast is separate from the herd and the flock. That's the cattle and the creeping thing. Beast is separately identified. Do not let them taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Now, don't mention that the cow and the donkey or the elephant or the creeping thing, it mentions specifically, let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto Yahweh. Yea, let them turn every one from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. H-A-N-D-S. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a major problem in society. Now, what manner of beast would wear sackcloth? Have the power of speech? And once again, we see his hands raised to Yahweh. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 10. For before these days, there was no har for man, nor any har for beast. Now here we see that beasts can be hard to work. We know that they were to leave the growth of their crops in the seventh year. They were to stay out of it and let the poor of the land, that doesn't own land, to let them eat and let the beast of the field. Let man eat first and then the beast come in second, to glean. Now here we find out that the beast can be hard along with man. The beast can talk. He can walk. He's got feet. He's got evil ways. Oh my. Why me, Yahweh? Now, we look at society today, or modern civilization, in its unparalleled degree of enlightenment. When compared with preceding ages, while marvelous advances have been made in the realm of science, in other respects, we're still groping about in a clouded maze of misconceptions. Colleges and universities have been taken over by aliens and are teaching as truth the philosophies which have no substance in actual fact. For example, because of the doctrines of the atheist, the school of natural development, these are accepted as the Academy of Scholarship. Specifically, the theory of the evolution of species, the door of understanding, has been fastened shut in regard to the true origin of the races of kind after kind. We're taught through religious or through the social standards of learning. We're told that we simply have evolved from an animal into a man, today that we would call a man. The apostles and the early prophets do not support this now present view taught in universities and schools. Nevertheless, under the operation of the law of Yahweh, all are entitled to equality of justice and righteousness and judgment and truth regarding the origin of the races, and it demonstrates conclusively that there are people that do not have a common ancestry, that were not of Ab, that were made in the very beginning for the specific purpose. And the demonstration of the complete cessation of the present attempt to elevate those who are to higher places, because the Bible says, thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. You shall not mix or mingle with a stranger that is not your brother. Now, I hope and trust, in the few minutes that I've got left here, and I don't have many, that part one of this, in the beginning, I'm going to start tomorrow night, sponsored by Brother Mark and Brother Bud and Brother Fred and all those that hold up Pastor Buddy's hands, that I can preach without laboring. I can pay the bills that come due without laboring, and so that I can fill in those things that you're not having time to study. Pastor Buddy can do that, and I owe it to you to continue on these informative hours that my sponsors have provided. And, by the way, we may be going to WWCR on Sunday night, which was our original launching pad on the WWCR years ago. Dr. Gary, Brother Bob is handling the details, working all those out, trying to work out the details. Dr. Gary is going to be my sponsor on WWCR. It's the old time. We used to be on at 8 o'clock. Now we've got prime. We finally got the 9 o'clock hour that we wanted on WWCR, and we'll be going back there Sunday night for our first message. We can work out the details, and I think we will by tomorrow. We've about got them worked out. A few things that we need to clarify. And we will be on Sunday night, this Sunday night, praise Yahweh. And I'm delighted to give you an opportunity, one more opportunity for one more night on Sunday night at 9 o'clock, prime time. You can join us on WWCR at 9 o'clock on Sunday night. So write that down in your ledger and make a note of that. We'll see you Sunday night with the Shepherd's Call back on WWCR with a sponsor full time to pay the bills. Praise Yahweh for that. May Yahweh bless and may Yahweh provide the truth with the opportunity. And I certainly appreciate it, and I'm very humbled by it, that we would be able to come back. Now, we're not going to leave WWRV. This is our flagship station, but we are going on WWCR on Sunday night, a primetime event. And if anybody could work us out another primetime the timeline, whether it be on WWCR or WWCR or any other station that you'd like to sponsor me on, please contact Brother Bob through the website oneyahweh.com. And Bob will be glad to inquire about it, work it out, and if we can get the details worked out, we will be glad to do so. Now, I've got a minute to tell you that I love you. And I got a minute to tell you that we'll be back on here tomorrow night around the world on WWRB 3.185 with the Shepherd's Call. You can call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Thank you for hanging in with me tonight. Yahweh bless. We're supposed to have more storms in the area tomorrow night. Let's hope and pray that the WWBR will not be knocked off the air with all this strange weather that we're having. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless you.